Welcome. Hi, I'm your host, Paul Nichols. Hope this finds you well today. Thank you for joining me. Today we are going to be brief and right to the point. Just for the sake of time, I want to talk about the market update and a little bit about what's happened this week. Let me give you some dates so that we're on the same track here. I'm recording this on March 5th, but it's as of business close, March 4th, 2014. We are going to do a market update and talk a little bit about volatility and market timing. If you've listened to our podcast before, you know that this podcast is designed to educate, create clarity, give people, a more simplistic view of how to invest and how to deal with finances rather than a lot of complex jargon and terms that baffle most of us. I like to keep it real simple. One of the things that's very important that people understand is that it's all about getting market returns. You know, we invest our money with the intent of hoping to grow it over a period of time, that it's there for our nest egg, our financial security, at some predetermined time, hopefully, down the road. When we all try to do the best we can to invest and be good stewards, to read and try to understand how one would best go about dealing with their finances, their care needs, their income needs, their tax issues, etc. All the things that make up a total financial plan today. And one of the things I think a lot of people are most misinformed about or misunderstand is the active nature of how trading in our stock market seems to be rampant, and there's a lot of transactions going on. And normally, in fact, every time there's some social, political, economic climate that's precipitating these transactions. In other words, there's normally a story that goes along with it. And recently we've had the Ukraine, issues with Russia going into the Crimean Peninsula. If you've watched the news at all, you know what's going on there. And it created a bubble in the market this last week. In fact, we had I'm talking to you on Wednesday. On Monday, we had a Dow index that dropped about 165 points. And then yesterday, Tuesday, it went up about 228 points. So it's interesting how that little nugget of news created such a ripple in the market. And basically, it explains, though, the speculative nature of the stock market and how it works. Where on the other side, if you were to contrast that with an academic or scientific approach to investing, one would say that no real social, political, or economic news would change how one's portfolio is designed, built, and continued to be monitored, but rather the only thing that's going to change pricing or any stocks or bonds change from day to day is new news that may affect those companies. So from a viewpoint of the Ukrainian news, it certainly would have affected international stocks. If you have a well-diversified portfolio, you should own small international companies, large international companies, emerging markets, and developed. So you would have a ripple there. But it's not going to affect the rest of your portfolio. But of course it did here, because there's some large companies that are invested over in Europe. And as a result of the news, there was some concern about all the things related to finance, business, government rules, etc. And that caused that ripple. But the point that I'm trying to make here, in essence, is it's not about when you would buy stocks or bonds or mutual funds or invest. And it's not really what you would buy. It's more how does what you own relate to everything else that you plan on investing in. So when we look at the market as a whole, the market has a two-thirds bias. Two out of every 3 years is up. One out of every 3 years is down. What one can do is get market returns, because overall the market is really, if you were to look at a picture of a man walking up a flight of stairs playing with the yo-yo, that really is a pretty good picture of what happens in the stock market. It's continued to reach new highs in the last year. We've had just shy of 50 days in the Dow where new highs have been reached. The S&P 500 index, which represents 500 large U.S. companies, predominantly growth companies, has hit an all-time high. Of course, this is all going on at the same time we have an unbalanced budget, or I don't even think we have a budget. We have an ineffective and inept Congress. We have a huge debt load, and we have a lot of people that are unemployed. And all this is happening at the same time the market's hitting new highs. So a rational person starts to try to wrap their head around this, and they go, this is crazy. And the reason that logic does not always prevail, and of course logic would have to prevail if you were to avoid the kind of up and down volatility we've seen this week, which, by the way, it's great now because it's on the upside. But what ends up happening is this volatility creates a lot of emotional distress, and oftentimes emotional people make emotional decisions, and this is why we normally see the market have little blips up and down. It might be a little piece of news that triggers it. There may be some validity in that news and certain companies it might affect, but it creates this ripple effect. We think of it as a combination of market timing, which is not empirically proven to work in any way, shape, or form. That is trying to decide how much money to keep when and where. And also that in conjunction with the concept of stock picking. That is, we believe that stock picking is really speculating and gambling, that one would rather try to own all of the different asset classes that would encompass all the different sectors of the market, transportation, finance, healthcare, et cetera. And those asset classes would basically in tune encompass the entire global marketplace. And according to the academics and the Nobel laureates, certainly the ones I have personally met, they would say to you that in the long run, the market really is a zero-sum game. It means in order for one to lose, another has to win. And really, the only thing any of us get in the long run would be market returns minus what it costs to invest. So if we're trying to get market returns, we want to be invested in the entire marketplace with a set target allocation that would never change based on the social, political, economic climate of the day. Rather, the science would dictate how that would be set up, and there would be no reason to change that unless new science came to light. As a result of all that, and that rationale, in my thinking, having studied both sides of the coin, that are people who believe they can predict and speculate and outwit the market versus the academic truths of the last 50 years, I've come to the conclusion that you just want to own the entire marketplace and rebalance on a regular basis, own equities, realize it's a long-term endeavor, and make sure you have your investments spread out through all the different asset classes. And I don't mean ones that may be on the risky side like real estate or commodities. I'm talking about what I'm going to go through right here, the market update. That is small U.S. companies, large U.S. companies, small value and large companies as well in the U.S., international, emerging, developed markets. When you start to look at cash, of course, all these different asset classes, they would encompass basically everything that one could invest in some way, shape, or form. So it may not be an actual bar of gold that you would invest if you don't buy a commodity, but you would certainly own mining companies, companies that deal with refining, manufacturing, etc., those types of products related to gold as an example. So when you own all the different asset classes here, from an academic perspective, you would in turn own the entire marketplace. So how are we doing? And I'm going to give you a contrast. It's very interesting. We're going to look at March 3rd, which is Monday, and March 4th, which is Tuesday. These are business close, so the end of the business day. Right now, as of March 4th, I'm recording this on the 5th, so the business day is not over. The Russell 2500 Index, which looks at small to mid-sized U.S. companies, predominantly growth companies, year-to-date is 4.15%. But on Tuesday, on Monday, I'm sorry, it was 2%. That's how much the market dropped. So it picked up 2% basically in one day. I feel bad for the person that got out on Monday of the market trying to time it and didn't get back in Tuesday. Let's look at the Russell 2000 index, not the 2500, but the Russell 2000, which looks at small to very small U.S. growth companies. And as of March 4th, business close, it was 4%, where on the 3rd, just the day before, it was 1.24%. Wow, what a dramatic difference. Russell 1000 value looks at large U.S. value companies, not growth, but value companies. 1.39% as of March 4th, Tuesday. But on Monday, it was in negative territory, actually. 0.13% to the red, so it was negative. What a difference a day makes. Let's go to the Russell 2000 value, which measures small cap value companies. 2.4% as of March 4th, Tuesday, and 0.05% the previous day. So basically a 2% jump. And let's go to the most commonly known index, the S&P 500 index, which looks at U.S. large growth companies predominantly. And year-to-date, that's 1.38%. But as of Monday, after the Ukrainian news, we'll attribute it to that anyway, that we were in negative territory on Monday and 0.14, and now we're out by a percent plus. So that's all good news. How's international doing? Let's go to the Morgan Stanley Capital International. Year-to-date, this would be the World Index. Let's talk about that one, the World Index, which is developed markets. Year-to-date, 1% even. As of Monday, it was 0.34%, so we picked up 0.75%, roughly. Not quite, but right in there. The Emerging Market Index, measured by Morgan Stanley Capital International, still in the red. It was in the red a good part of last year as well, 2013, although the market was extraordinary overall. Most of that was U.S. But the Emerging Markets Index is down negative. It's the only laggard as of Tuesday business close, March 4th, and it is down a little above 4.5% to the negative. However, on Monday, it was negative 5%. And then the last one, the EAFE, Europe, Australia, Far East, Morgan Stanley Capital International. This would be Europe, Australia, Far East. And that looks at basically international markets, excluding U.S. and Canada. And it's 0.37% to the positive Tuesday. Monday, it was negative 0.9, just shy of 0.9. So what a difference a day makes, Monday, Tuesday. And I think this really does illustrate how dramatic emotions drive what happens in our market. For us to see that much of a dramatic jump, we're talking about really a 2%, a significant difference, half of what it is in essence right now. So really 50% of what it is this year to date, that much of a change in the market over one blip of news. And you can't say that is all grounded in logic and some scientific approach, but it has to be grounded really more in the active nature that one that is smart people, smarter than you and I, it's implied that they can, in fact, predict up and down markets and find value consistently. Of course, I have not read any research to support that. There are people that have beaten the market, but not consistently for any length of time. Really interesting when you look at it. This is why we do the market update here at Financial Abundance. I'm the president. Again, my name is Paul Nichols, president of Financial Abundance, a registered investment advisory firm located in Happy Valley. That is State College, Pennsylvania. And we do this podcast on a regular basis to educate, inform, and teach listeners about the academic truths of investing. I'm known to pull back the curtain on the financial services industry and expose the truth about money and investing. And this is why we do the market update, to go back to the science, you know, go back to the basics as it relates to investing. If you'd like to learn more about investing, there's some information on our website, a number of blogs, there's opportunities to request material. If you'd like to learn more about an academic approach to investing, simply go on there and check it out, faicoach.com, faicoach.com. check that out. And if hopefully it enriches your life in some way, shape, or form, as does this podcast. I'm going to sign off for today. I'll talk to you in a couple weeks. I hope you enjoyed the little nugget for today, which is watch out for the market timing. And this week, the first full week of March, is certainly an indication of what market timing looks like. So happy investing. Have a great day. Paul Nichols, your host with It's Your Money, signing off. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening.